If you're exhausted and inflamed and you're doing all the right things, this episode might explain why your body still isn't cooperating. Peggy Moore is back. She's a functional medicine practitioner and founder of Moore Health and Wellness, and she's going to talk to us about restarting the new year with energy and how to work within our bodies. So if you're out there struggling, this episode is for you. Peggy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here.
Yeah, the value that you add is impeccable. So I was excited to talk to you today. I was just literally telling you about how tired I was, but it's also dark and cold and gloomy where I live. So I think the sunlight is the issue, as we talked about.
Yes, absolutely. I think the holidays are so fun and exciting, but we have to recognize that inside our bodies, something different is happening. Many people don't start to notice that this season of the holidays brings extra pressure, like trying to do so many things, staying up late, eating more sweets, going to parties. We have all these expectations on us that we don't really recognize is actually kind of draining our body and our mind. And then we start this new year, and we started with all these other expectations that we put on
Yeah.
ourselves of, oh, we have
Like,
to have these big goals. And I think recognizing number one, what are the things that have been draining our energy, and what are some things that we can do just one step at a time, just getting one degree better will help ourselves feel better. And especially in the new year of this winter time where it's cold and dark for most people, it's hard to get that sunlight. What are some things that we can do? So, absolutely.
yeah, I really feel like a lot of women, especially, feel like they're just pushing through, constantly pushing through. So, what happens when stress is chronic in the body?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. We have these little signs and symptoms that happen to our bodies, and we don't always recognize them as something that is caused by stress and inflammation. So, one thing is more cravings. When I talk to women that are like, I'm just craving sugar more, I need that more caffeine to get me going. My belly fat is. I just feel bloated and it's not going away. I'm not sleeping good at night. I feel like I'm getting sick easy. I mean, how many of us get sick more easily in the winter times? Mood
Everybody I know is
swing.
sick right now, like literally everybody.
Yeah, it's because our body is worn down. Our immune system can't work properly when we're not taking care of our bodies, and we let these little things kind of creep in, and we recognize what's going on. We have the headaches, we have the brain fog, we have this bloating going on. We're not sleeping good. We have the cravings for sugar and salt, but we don't really know where that's all coming from and how to fix it. And so I love that we're talking about this today because there are some things that you can do to help your body feel better.
What are some subtle signs that stress hormones are running the show, even if you feel fine?
I think some of the biggest things to be aware of are those cravings. Are they driving your morning, your afternoon, and your evening? So are you reaching for sugar and caffeine in the morning and then recognizing that you're reaching for it again in the afternoon and then again maybe around 4? Recognizing that roller coaster, because that is something that really causes inflammation. It really inhibits our metabolism from working properly, and it leaves us feeling basically like crap because we're going on this up and down roller coaster. I think another thing to really recognize is sleep. Sleep is so important for our body. And if you're not getting a good night's sleep, let's figure out why. Is it that anxiety and that worry about, am I getting everything done? I put myself on these really strict New Year's resolutions. Am I getting everything perfect? You know, that stress alone causes our stress hormone or our cortisol to rise and actually can work against us when we have those goals. Especially in older women, we can't just white knuckle it and be like, I'm just not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this and do this and do this and be perfect. Causes extra stress in our body and it kind of fights against those goals. So we have to have a little bit of a more gentle approach and kind of work with our body more, especially as we get older, so that we can feel good and thrive.
Yeah, I feel like sleep is often the first thing to start breaking down. Like anytime I'm in a high stress mode for a period of time, sleep is always the first thing to go. But I want to ask you about this because this is something that I know a lot of women are talking about and happens to them is the craving for food at like 11 p.m. at night. It's like you lay down and all of a sudden you're like, I have to get up and munch out right now. What is going on?
Yes. And you know what? I struggle with this so much. I
Happens
really
to,
have
been
to work
happening
on it
to you
with
lately.
myself.
That's why I'm like, I gotta ask
Yeah.
her.
I'm like, what is it? What do I want? Do I want the sugar? Do I want the crunch? What is it? Why can I go
Why
all
am I
day?
torturing
And it's
myself? Yeah,
because,
just go to sleep.
yeah, it's so hard. And I think we put ourselves on this roller coaster with that when we start our day with sugar or caffeine, both of which are kind of stimulants, and then they lead us on this roller coaster all day. So, really thinking about that, when are you reaching for that sugar and that caffeine? Do you start the morning with a bagel and coffee? A bagel is mainly simple carbs and it has some. You might think that, oh, it's okay, it's better than a piece of cake, but it might have the same amount of carbs depending on where you're getting that bagel from. And so that sugar and caffeine, and then by noon, you're like, oh, you're dragging and you need more. And then by 4 o'clock, you're dragging and need more. And then, of course, by dinner, you eat that dinner, but then that craving is still there and it wasn't fulfilled. And that's why late at night, you're getting that craving again. So it can very much be a roller coaster because it's kind of like a spike and crash. And so really looking at what you're putting in your body, making sure in the morning that you're starting with a protein and a fat. Eggs are really good. A lot of people like protein shakes, maybe putting some avocado in that, some chia seeds, something that gives you a protein and a fat. And a little bit of a carb, maybe some berries to add that sweetness would be a perfect start that's gonna last longer and it's not gonna give you this high up and high down. The sugar ups and downs are almost always, sometimes it's related to the stress hormone of cortisol, but they kind of go together. But that sugar up and down is what wakes us up in the middle of the night. Our body is used to going up and down and up and down. We get those cravings at 11 o'clock at night, like you said. We might eat that something sweet. And then in the middle of the night, our body's like, where's my trigger again? Where is that sweetness? My blood sugar that was up so high is now low and I need to feed it. And that also, that lowering of that blood sugar when you're used to that up and down, up and down, up and down, actually triggers the stress response of cortisol. And that's why women will tell me, oh, I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and I'm anxious, my mind is racing, and I can't get back to sleep. And so once we get that blood sugar stabled out, and I have to tell you my own story. So this happened to me. I totally can relate. And once I got my blood sugar stable, once I recognized by eating that protein and fat and that carbohydrate, having that balance of things, that if I need a quick grab, I just make sure I have those three things, the protein and the fat, and just a little bit of carbs to keep me going. But keeping that steady through the day kept me not having those cravings so much at night, and definitely sleeping through the night and not waking up at 2 or 2 to 4 in the morning. Game changer for me because I need my sleep, as all of us need our sleep. Sleep is not a luxury, it is an essential part of life. Your body has to have that sleep to restore. And if you're not getting a good night's sleep, it causes your body to be inflamed. It causes your metabolism to slow down, and it can leave you just feeling icky and not feeling good.
I have a question about caffeine. Is all caffeine created equally? Because I see all these supplements that have some advertised to have like natural green coffee bean extract will not cause the same crash as like regular coffee. Is caffeine caffeine?
I think that's a great question, and actually, I do not have the scientific answer for that. The way I look at caffeine, because there's so much, I think because
There's so
there's
many
so
products.
much information. Some people are like, one cup of coffee in the morning is fine, or this amount of coffee, or green tea. Green tea has so many great properties. Matcha, for example, has so many great antioxidants and properties. I would think a cup of that in the morning is fine. But I can't tell you the literature, and I don't want to give you a scientific answer. I can tell you from experience and from working with clients that having a cup of coffee in the morning, if that's your non-negotiable, have your cup of coffee. I would not white knuckle it and not have it. But remember not to have it throughout the day. It's when we're having that. So we've got to remember that caffeine's going to give us a little bit of a cortisol spike. So it's going to give us a little bit of extra energy, but we've got to learn how to maintain that. We can't put, if it is putting you on a roller coaster where you have to have it again at noon, you have to have it again at four, then let's find a way to cut back on that so your body isn't feeling this roller coaster that it needs to sustain throughout the night.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's about like how you're utilizing the tool. So if we look at caffeine as a tool to essentially biohack ourselves and enhance our morning and our day versus are we having that cup of coffee, driving to work, grabbing another double espresso, and then chugging a triple espresso in the afternoon to keep chasing that feeling? It's like, I know for me, when I start getting exhausted, burnt out, tired, I'm reaching for caffeine more and more and more. And then I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening here? Why do I keep needing more and more of this? And the crazy thing is it doesn't even help anymore. It actually does the opposite because I feel like when I'm burnt out, that it starts to spike my cortisol so much that my stress hormones start activating and then my fight or flight activates and then I get super anxious. But I confuse that
Absolutely.
feeling with energy. And it's like the world is telling me you have to be energized, you have to keep going, you have to keep pushing it. You're a woman, you got to do everything. And so I stop myself. I'm like, what's happening right now?
I'm glad you mentioned that because I think that is such, for women that the idea and expectation to be everything is what is hurting us as women.
100%.
I think as women, we have unique gifts that we give to the world. And when we push ourselves to the point of trying to be perfect, trying to be all the things to all the people, we definitely harm ourselves. And then we can't do that. And I think I definitely have felt this in my own life. I was an ICU nurse for 20 years. I have three children, and during that time I had three children and they were teenagers and had all the activities. I was a dance mom, I was a band mom, I was a sports mom. I was busy in my church and I literally just kept going. I just kept going and kept going because that was expected to me. But I will tell you that at some point it breaks, some point it crashes. And then you're stuck with what do I need to do to feel better? And at this point in my life, I have learned the art of saying no and not feeling guilty about it. The art of setting boundaries. This is my boundary. I need my sleep. I need to go to bed at this time because I work full time and I wake up in the morning and I need to feel refreshed. And so if I have to make choices, I make choices that are best for me and for my body so that when I am out with my friends, when I am at work, when I am out in society, I can give my best.
Yeah, it's almost like a little bit of a deviant feeling when you say your first no, when your first guilt-free no for the first time, and you actually mean it. And it's like I pictured myself as like a superwoman in that moment, like a superhero, just like the no, and it felt so good.
Yeah, I think so. It's so funny because my husband is used to how I've been for years. And he's the one of the biggest ones when I say no. He's like, "Really? You don't want to go to this extra party or this extra thing?" And I'm like, "No." I'm like, I need to preserve that energy. And it's funny because he is kind of a little bit more of an introvert, I guess. And so he's like, cool, that sounds great. But it took a little while for him to recognize in me that that was really what I wanted.
Interesting, interesting. For me, it was the opposite. I was with someone who was like a complete extrovert, and he was like, "What do you mean you don't want to go to that after party?" And so we struggled with the opposite. Let me ask you about the gentle reset that you teach. So, what does that mean, and why do you think it works better than restrictive plans?
I love the gentle reset. So it is basically about giving women permission to take care of themselves without pressure, without perfection. Small, consistent habits matter way more than being perfect, which I have a great, it's called the Healthy Habits Reset. It is a little program that I'm giving away for free. I will give you the link, we'll put it in the notes. And it basically sends you a reminder every day of a new simple habit. And the very first habit is like making your bed. The second habit, I believe, is meditation, taking 30 seconds, just 30 seconds to bring in some calm and think about what you want for the day, how you want to feel, and what you want to give, and what you ex want your day to look like. Just doing that helps you reset. And so I love this program because it's super simple. It's on my EMR. So it's HIPAA compliant, but clients get an email every day with just some encouraging notes and just a simple habit that they can do every day to help bring them back to themselves and bring back some just simple, healthy habits that will make you feel, hey, I accomplished something.
Why do you think that works better than restrictive plans?
I think it works better because it works with our body. It works with our mind. It doesn't, I have this love and hate relationship with the term boss babe. You know, boss babe sounds real cool, but it brings with it all these expectations and all this more, especially as an
Not only
entrepreneur
that,
and
but
a
then
business
people look
owner.
at someone like that and they're like, she can handle everything, right?
Yes. And that
And they put those
expectation is
women on
there.
these pedestals and it's like not real.
It's not real. I actually, and I don't even know if I can mention this, but I actually saw an interview with a pop star recently, who it was kind of going through the same thing. And she was like, "I am a mother. I have two kids. I have this. I'm trying to take care of my body. I'm trying to do all these things. Everyone expects me to do this. And when I don't meet their expectations, of course, they come at me." And she's like, "I was one day in the gym doing it all, and someone said to me, 'Hey, are you okay?' And she realized, she's like, 'I crashed. I realized that I needed to start with some inner work. I needed to start taking care of me.' And I was like, 'You're such a great poster child for that. We need this. We need women to know that we have to take care of ourselves. We have to know what we can handle.' And I think that takes a little bit of introspection and a little bit of thought work of what we can handle, what we want, and how we want to feel, and how we want to show up in this world."
Yeah, I think one of the first things that women especially need to get better at is expressing themselves and asking for what they need. instead of just eating it. I know when I was in the problem and my nervous system was out of whack, I was terrified to ask for help because of that societal expectation of, we're supposed to do everything. And I remember, like, when I first asked for help, how terrified I was. I think I li literally needed an hour off of an office job, and I was like shaking, like having to go talk to my boss about it. And it was literally something so small. So yeah, I really think we need to start vocalizing our needs a lot more. I wonder why we're so scared of that.
That is so. I think it's because we're just taught as women to push, 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 and that we have to do everything and be everything to everyone. And so, recognizing number one that we can't, which is hard. I say that. I'm like, oh, I can't, but I want to be. I put the same pressures on myself, so I totally understand. I can actually give a great story to this. Yesterday, so I've been sick, and was feeling better, but was feeling sick again. Needed to go into the doctor, and at work, I am the only nurse in the building. And in order to take the time off and go to the doctor, it was causing a lot of drama. And I wanted to say, oh, just never mind. I'll just go to the ER. I'll just do. And I'm like, no, I should be able to take the time off that I need. And it caused a lot of drama because I heard all the drama that it took afterwards. And I kind of felt guilty for a minute. And then I'm like, no, I'm here every single day. I show up. I do what I need to do. Sometimes I need to take care of myself. And I think that's hard for women, to take that time to take care of ourselves, to get the rest that we need, the self-care that we need. And I don't mean going to the spa for self-care. I mean the self-care of being able to take a shower for young moms, especially alone. Be able to sit down and enjoy a meal, so can be difficult. So, absolutely.
Absolutely. So then, as women, how do we stop the cycle of burnout, motivation, burnout, motivation, burnout, and then create like a healthy life that actually sticks?
Well, I think it does start in your mind. I do think there is some mind work and some thought work that one should do. I have a great program called Discover Your Personal Power that is actually a 12-week program that helps women really journal and get in touch with their, there's four different sections. We talk about mental health, emotional health, physical health, and social health, and how all of them come together to help us to be able to recognize how we can take care of our mind better so that we can express those needs, express those feelings, and be able to be actually more successful in society. I think it is also very important to remember the three M's. So meals, movement, and mindset. I talked about the mindset, but we also recognize another way. I think it's interesting that we were talking about energy in the afternoon. Another great way to get energy is to get up and walk. Get up and walk, run up some stairs. Trust me, you're going to have some energy if you can run up and down the stairs two or three times. And then you're going to have that natural boost of energy. You're going to feel better, be able to be more concentrated on your tasks. I don't know about you, but I sit in front of a computer a lot of the day, working on different programs and things. And so I have to really think about, I actually have an alarm on my phone so that I get up and I move, because our body is not good for our body to sit. But getting up and moving, maybe doing some squats, maybe just jumping in place can help give us some energy, the same energy that we would get from that caffeine, but so much better for our body, better for that blood sugar, and it will help us to feel better. And then remembering in our meals to get the protein, the fiber, the healthy fats that we need, making sure they're balanced throughout the day so that we don't have that up and down crash.
My favorite thing to do before getting on a show like this is dance around. I put on a really good song, and if I'm tired, I literally dance and I like shake my hands out and I just start moving around. And it is, it's like a shot of espresso. And then I'm like, okay, game on. Because that's another thing is we can't be on all the time, right? So these little
Right.
ways to biohack our bodies in order to have this energy in a healthy way, I think is so important versus me making another cup of coffee, right?
Yes. Yeah, I love when you use the word biohack. I thought that was great because so often I think that's kind of a fun word, a funny word, I guess, because we want to biohack our bodies with caffeine or stimulants, but we're really not. We're really harming our body. When we learn to work with our natural rhythm and our natural body, that's when we really hack into what's going on and we feel the best.
Yeah, that's the other side of that's the negative side of biohacking and kind of what the industry is leading us to believe is that more is more. And just adding products into your life is not the best idea if your body doesn't need all of these products that might be natural and plant-based and supplementation. They could actually start doing the opposite in the body. And if the body doesn't need it, it's not going to use it, and it's going to actually cause us harm. So I love that you said that we should be working with our body clock and the way our body works, and not just being reckless with it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I learned the most. I was at a point in my life where I was like, oh, let me try this supplement. Let me try this supplement. Let me try this. Let me try that. Let me try all these things and see. And then they're counterintuitive to each other because they don't work. And so when I was introduced to functional medicine a few years back and was able to look at the root cause, so let's not put a band-aid on it. Caffeine's like that band-aid, you know. I don't have enough energy, so I'm gonna give myself some caffeine so I have some energy. That's kind of like a band-aid. And so when we get to the root cause, when we really look at, we have someone that can look at all the symptoms, all the things going on with this particular person. When I was able to look at labs and see how is my gut functioning? What are the inflammatory markers in my body? Are they high? Are they low? Then I knew exactly what to fix. And it made such a world of difference in my how I feel. And I think in America, maybe it's the time of, this 20, are we in the 21st century? I guess the 21st century that we're in. Of quick fixes. We want to take something that's going to make us feel good right now. And our bodies really don't work that way. It didn't work that way for our ancestors. We can't biohack everything. We have to really stop and look at what are the root causes. How can we fix those root causes and balance ourselves out? And it makes such a world of difference. If you had told me 10 years ago that eating more balanced meals, learning to say no, those things would actually help me thrive more, I wouldn't have believed it because I was that go, go, go. But once I learned to do those things, once I learned that meals and movement and mindset are what can help me feel my best and help me thrive my best, that's when my world changed.
Beautiful. So, if someone out there listening feels tired, inflamed, and really disconnected from their body, what's the very first place that you would have them start?
Well, I would start by looking at what's going on. What are those symptoms that are they having? What you mentioned, feeling inflamed. So, are they having problems with bloating? Do they wake up feeling pain in their back or their shoulders or their arms or their legs? Do they wake up feeling tired or do they wake up feeling rested? If they're waking up feeling tired, then what can we do to promote a better night's sleep? What can we look at? If if they're feeling bloated and puffy and inflamed, what are some things in their diet that we can maybe shift a little bit? We don't like to, one of the things I really don't like is the all or nothing kind of mentality. What are some things that we can just shift and tweak a little bit to give you more energy, help you feel better, decrease that inflammation, and help you thrive?
Peggy, tell us a little bit more about what you do and where people can find you.
Yeah, so I'm a functional medicine practitioner, which means I help women in, mainly in midlife feel better. So often in midlife, we wake up feeling tired. We're have spent so many years pushing and pushing and pushing to do all the things for all the people. And so I help women really get a grip around their mindset of how to take care of their bodies. I look at root cause analysis. So I use tools and things like labs and different kinds of questionnaires to really get to the root cause of what is causing this inflammation, what is causing the metabolism to slow down, what is causing these feelings of being tired but wired, and how can we fix them and help you feel better and thrive. You can find me at More Functional Health and Wellness. So that is my website, morefunctionalhealthandwellness.com. I'm also on Facebook under More Health and Wellness, and I'm on Instagram. I'm also on LinkedIn.
Amazing. So before we go, I'm just curious, what is the mindset shift that needed to change for you in order to find this new way of sustainable health?
I think the biggest mindset for me was recognizing that all this outside data that we take in, all the things that the people say to us, you know, maybe we were, I was an oldest child. So being raised as an oldest child, those expectations. I got married young and had kids young. So those expectations, all the expectations that everyone else puts on us, I really had to have a mind shift in letting that go and recognizing who I wanted to be. I really did a lot. I'm also a life coach, and so I took a lot of training. I did about a year of training on life coaching and how to really reset my mind, really think about the thoughts that are in my head. Are they my thoughts? Are they someone else's thought? Is it just a thought? Is it a thought that I can change? This thought that I have to be the perfect mom, the perfect wife. That's actually just a thought. And how can I make that more accessible for me? Not to put so much pressure on myself, but to be me, to be authentic, to show my true self. And it has given me an opportunity to actually love deeper and to be able to give more.
Yeah, it's quite interesting when we start connecting to ourselves, start feeling better, how much the lives of the people around us also start to change.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here today and for having such an amazing conversation with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Me too. And to our audience, please do not forget to like and subscribe before you leave today. And if you're struggling with any of the things we're talking about, please reach out to Peggy. We will have her links in the show notes for easy access. Until next time, happy 2026, everyone. Take care.